The Pasha Tatuya, as well as the Pasha Tatuya, speak about
Nigoyim. Nigoyim, of course, are different types of plagues, if I can translate it that way, that affect different parts of a person's body and a person's possessions. You take a look at the Torah here in Tazria, not at the very beginning, but starting with Perek Gimel. The Torah begins by telling us, Adam kiyev the orb of sorrow, saying so sapachas of baheres. The person has a negative saras on his body. But of course the obligation is to go to Aaron HaKohen, and he's the one who decides, if you remember the Mishnayis of Megillah, he makes a decision what to do, what the nature of the nega is. That's what the Torah describes in the beginning of Perek Gimel. And then in Pasuk Tes, the Torah says, Nega tzaras kisiyah v'odom, v'ubal ha-kohen. Again, he comes to the Kohen, again, the Kohen has to make decisions. And the Torah continues along this vein. And finally, take a look at Perek Gimel, Pasuk Mem Zayin. The Torah speaks about, v'habege kiyah v'o nega tzaras. V'vege tzemer or v'vege pishtem. We're absolutely astounded by this statement. It's one thing that a person develops saras. By the way, let me just point out to you an article, an item, very significant, important by Adam Tziaf, one of the great Gedolim of the previous century in Germany. He has a number of essays where he pointed out that saras is not leprosy, as is classically translated. And he brings many proofs. I'm not going to go into the halachic proofs that he brings from Mishnayis and the Goyim and other proofs as well. But whatever the case is, saras is some sort of a disease. We don't exactly know what it is. Some sort of an infectious, communicable disease, that was thought. That was the case. But here we have tzaraat not only on the person himself, but also begotten are affected by tzaraat. What does that mean? So the Ramban, in one of the most famous comments, Al Torah writes the following. Ramban in Tazria, I'm reading part of the Ramban for you. Ba'avegi kiyabol nega tzaraat, zeh inenu b'tema klal. This is not something which is natural. B'lo hove ba'ola. Nor can this be. Something like this is not, in terms of our reality, it did not happen. V'chein nigei habati, or for that matter, a house being affected by the goyim. What does that mean? Ramban says that's not something which is reality. So what exactly is it? So come to Ramban, follow the idea. I will be Yossi Yisrael shleinim Hashem, if the Jewish people are sholei. Sholei means if we are what? Committed to Hashem Yisbarach. Ruach Hashem aleihem tombi. Then Hashem, the Hashkocha of the Almighty, the Divine Providence, will in effect hover over us as it were. Lahani gufam ubigdeyem ubateyem b'marato. Our situation will be idyllic, ideal, both physically, in terms of our health, and our clothing, and our homes, our material possessions. Everything will be hunky-dory. Ramban said, that's only what committed totally to Hashem. The kashiyikra b'echam mehem chet v'avam. And then said the Ramban something astounding. If one of these ideal Jews commits a chet, commits a transgression or some sin, then right away, what does Hashem Yisbarach do? Hashem Yisbarach sends him a message. How is that message, shall we say, reflected? Says the Ramban, Yisaveh keor bibsaro or bibigdo or bibeso. The Negoyim are a message being sent by Hashem Yisbarach to the person, either on his person, on his body, or on his clothing, or on his material possessions, on his home. Why? Laharos ki Hashem sor me'olo. What is that an indication of? Essentially, Hashem has what? Abandoned him. Mind-boggling the Ramban. As the Ramban is saying here, a yesod, which he, by the way, says many, many times in Chumash. For those who learn the Ramban al Torah, which I'm sure from time to time you do, Ramban is saying that someone who's at a very high level, such a person has the Hashkach of Hashem Yisbarach directly on him. He's someone who's zochet to special protection, divine protection, he's zochet to, shall we say, shmira, divine shmira. And as a result, that's also reflected in both his body and his clothing and his possessions. And the moment he sins, the moment he transgresses, Hashem sends a message to him. And obviously, why is Hashem sending him a message? In order that he should, shall we say, see that as a clarion call to do tshuva. Clearly something is amiss, something is awry. Something has happened, and as a result, he should respond. Ramban goes off. That's what the Torah says. Where does the Torah say this negat taras is taking place? Beveis eretz akuzaskem. What does it mean, beveis eretz akuzaskem? It's taking place in the home, which is where? In the land of your inheritance. That's where, of course? Eretz Yisrael. Ki himakas Hashem b'bayis ahu. It's a makkah of Hashem in that particular house. Unbelievable. These Negoyim, according to the Ramban, are only endemic where? To which part of the world? Only in Eretz Yisrael. By the way, this is the Ramban Lishitoso. Anyone who learns Ramban al Torah knows, Ramban has a, I don't know how to describe it, a very distinctive, unique position about the singularity of Eretz Yisrael. Mind-boggling. I would say it's against all the Rishonim. Look at Yud Beis. Against everyone. Namely, was the Ramban Shita that in Eretz Yisrael there's a special hashkacha of Hashem Yisbarach that's based on Tzukim and Chumash. Eini Hashem Elokecha Bamerish Sashon Alach Rishon, and Dvar the Torah says that. It speaks about Eretz Yisrael. Parsha Zeka, there are two descriptions of Eretz Yisrael. In the beginning of the Parsha, towards the middle, towards the end of the Parsha, two fascinating descriptions. And the Ramban writes this idea a number of places based on the Rashi in Ekev. Rashi says, from quoting the Pasuk Yirmiyahu, Hatzivu Lachem Tziyunin. So the Ramban is the following Shita. You tell me if this Shita is one which is in sync, in tandem with, shall we say, Rov Hashas that you're familiar with. And that is, the Ikur Kiyum HaMitzvos is where? In Eretz Yisrael. So why do we do mitzvahs in Chutz Laaretz? Why bother performing mitzvahs in Chicago, in Teaneck, in New York City, in LA? What's the point? Ramban says very simply. Because otherwise we won't know how to do mitzvahs when we go back to Eretz Yisrael. So as a means to an end, as an exercise, Ramban says that's why we perform mitzvahs in Chutz Laaretz. And the source of this is a Rashi in Eked, Hatzivu Lachem Tziyunin, and the Ramban elaborates on this idea many, many times in the Perush Shel Torah to such an extent where the Ramban has a Gemara at the end of Ksuvos, where the Gemara says, Kol Adam Eretz Yisrael, Kilu Yesh Lo Elokah. If you live in Israel, then you have a God. Kilu. You live in Chutz Laaretz, Kilu, Ein Elokah. There's no God in Chutz Laaretz. Did you hear that? That's the Gemara. But the Ramban understands that to mean the following, just one second. That in Eretz Yisrael we are directly under the Hashkach of Hashem in the most direct way imaginable. Namely, it's a local phone call. Ribbono Shel Olam himself is, shall we say, the one who's guarding us. In Chutz Laaretz you have to go through all kinds of satraps and governors and intermediaries and mediation and what have you. You need all kinds of, shall we say, middle personages, if you will, in order to connect to Hashem Yisbarach. That's how the Ramban, and therefore the Ramban goes further. The Ramban says, so it's clear the Ikur Kiyum HaMitzvah is only in Eretz Yisrael, and the Chutz Laaretz, the only reason why we perform mitzvahs there is in order to know what to do when we come back to Eretz Yisrael. Rishonim went crazy over this Ramban. Pashut crazy. What does that mean? There's no obligation to perform mitzvahs in Chutz Laaretz. When you eat matzah in Chutz Laaretz, you're not mekayem a mitzvah. Only as a means to an end. In order to know what to do, how to eat matzah when you get back to Eretz Yisrael. People employ it. But it shows that the Ramban's, shall we say, his scheme of things, what Eretz Yisrael, the role of Eretz Yisrael, which is very central in the Ramban's schemata. In the Ramban's Hashkafic universe, in his, shall we say, vista, Eretz Yisrael is a very central and very critical. The Ramban has this position. So now in scheme, let me just finish this. So in light of that, Ramban says, therefore, you want to talk about real hashgacha? What's real hashgacha? The moment a person commits an avera, right away he knows biyad that he committed an avera. Why? Because Hashem right away inflicts his house with the goyim, inflicts his garden with the goyim, inflicts himself with the goyim. There's a, of course, obviously a gradation here, a sequence of events that happens. The Ramban goes further. This only is not against Eretz Yisrael. The Moshe Amar Kisavar La'aretz Kenan Hashem Inosin Lechem Achuzah. They not dubbing the Heyosim Chavas Karka. Not because these are what you call a Chavas Karka. What is this? Trumas of Isis? I understand the Trumas of Isis in Shemitah is only knowing where? In Eretz Yisrael. Correct? Because we're talking about something that has to do with the real estate. This is not an issue of real estate. Al Nishal Yom Ahu Inyan Ahu. The Eretz on your terrace. This can only take place in Eretz Yisrael, where the Shina is directly hovering over Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban goes on at some length, and then he writes that clearly this is Etz by Elokim. Fine. That's the language of the Ramban al-Tarab. Go ahead.
I heard that, I think it says that first he does a sin here, like, that's Twice as worse as doing the seven evangelists.
The Ramban writes many times in the Shal Torah, Eretz Yisrael ain't so velas over Avera. Eretz Yisrael cannot take someone who doesn't sin. In Chutz Laaretz, people do transgressions, people commit sins, and essentially nothing happens. In Eretz Yisrael, right away there's a reaction. Here, shall we say, when Rashi writes the Chumash also, Eretz Yisrael is compared to a very delicate digestive system. A person is told by a doctor, only eat food X and food Y. You got a special diet, you got to be extremely careful. That's Eretz Yisrael. You have to be extremely careful in Eretz Yisrael, how you behave. And especially when it comes to three Averis. What three Averis? Gilarai, Shvichas, Dama, Vadazara. Rabban, also, mind-boggling. Rabban brings Raya of Chumash. You know, we just read this past Shabbos, the Haftarah of Parshas Parah. Is that that song? So, in the Haftarah of Parshas Parah, how do I find anything in this Chumash? Where is it? 240, where? Oh, thank you. Shukar Tov. Take a look at the Torah Pashas Parah, Yecheskel, Torah Lamidbar. I want to show you how the Ramban took it. Everyone look at 240, they have this Chumash, with this pagination, on page 240, okay?
Yeah.
Yecheskel, Torah Lamidbar, the Navi says the following, Vayid Vashem Elay Leymar. Ben Adam, you see it? Beis Yisrael, Yoshim Alad Basam, Chal Yisrael is sitting where? We're sitting pretty in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't say pretty. Vayitamu osam bedarkom avalilosam. What did we do? We defiled Eretz Yisrael with our ways and with our, shall we say, our practices. Ketumas anida hoisadarkom lefonai. The first statement that the Navi makes, he compares it to the tumah of anida. I continue. Voeshvo chamasi aleim. Hashem, what does he do? He's going to vent his wrath on us. Al adam asher shofu al haaretz. The second issue. Dam asher shofu. The third issue. There are three averas that I mentioned here, if I may, by allusion. The first is Ketumas Anida, that's Gila Rice. The second is Aladam Asher Shoflu, that is Rikas Domin. And the third is Ubi Giluleim Timur, refers to Abelazar. Rabban has this position. And he brings Rice from Sukkim and Chomish, but also Tanakh. That you see, there's these three averas, which are the cardinal sins that a Jew is obligated to give up his life for. But these sins actually are more heinous in Eretz Yisrael than anywhere else. And what happens? As a result of these averas, what will Hashem do? What is the most dreaded punishment in Chumash? Golus, going into exile. And then the Navi goes on to describe that when we came into Golus, so the Torah says, the Navi says in Pasuk Chaf here, Vayichalu Hashem Kodshi, because that's a Chilul Hashem. Be'emolem, Am Hashem Eile, the Goyim say this. The Goyim say, where do the Jews belong, in which country? In Eretz Yisrael. U'me'atzo Yatzo, where are they now? In Chicago, in Teaneck, in New York, in LA, in the five towns. Eim l'cha Chilul Hashem, Golo Mizeh. That's the greatest Chilul Hashem that one could possibly have. We were thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. Spewed forth, as it were. That we see in Sukkim, Lachrem, and Sinoshim. Remember those Sukkim? Could we just turn for a second? I'll show you what I'm talking about. I'm really never getting to where I want to get. In Lachrem, and Sinoshim, which is in Vayikra, these two parshios are very similar. You probably are familiar with them. Because the Roman that you have, in Perek Yuches, which you read on your Kippur, the Mincha, a list of Arayas. And then in Chodoshim, a list of Arayas. And Ramban points out the difference in the two parshas. One list of Arayas, one list of punishments. But at the end of Acharemos, let's look at page 295. The Torah tells us about if a person, again, violates transgressions in Eretz Yisrael, namely we're talking about Tumah, the Erev Arayas, starting with Chafei, 295. Batit Maharetz, the land becomes defiled. Batoki Haaretz es Yoshvel. Who throws us out? The land throws us out. The land spews us forth. Batoki Haaretz es Yoshvel. Moses, the land has a personality. Eretz Yisrael has a personality, you're aware of that. And the Torah goes on to say, Vasuch Chafes, Velo Saki Haaretz es Chim, Tamachim Oso, Kasher Koa, Sakoya, Shalot Nechem. And the way Rashi and the Ramban is this is a natural kind of process. Because Eretz Yisrael ain't no sovelet over Avera. Eretz Yisrael cannot handle, cannot weather a Jew commits a sin. Why? Because the hashgacha is right on top of us. The chutzar is all through satraps and intermediaries and mediation. It's not a direct hashgacha. Here the hashgacha is on top of us. And this is what the Ramban in our Pasha is saying. But look again in Kedoshim. You'll see the same idea. The other Kedoshim, sorry, once again, comes back to the same idea. Namely, Pasuk, page 301. Chabbeit. Ushmartim is called Hukosa and is called Mishpatim. Asisim Osam. Carry out the Mishpatim. Otherwise, what would the land do? Thank you very much. Wow. The land will spew you forth. Isn't that unbelievable? And the Ramban, of course, is saying this is Lashitasi. The land itself cannot handle. Yeah, not Hashem is Barach. The land cannot weather, cannot handle, can tolerate immorality, bloodshed, and idolatry. So now back in the Ramban, I just started with, back in our Pasha, or back in the Yecheskel, let's just finish that for a moment. So what happens? So what happens to the Chilul Hashem? But, you know what the problem is? We have an argument with Hashem is Baruch that is absolutely incontrovertible. An argument that is ironclad, that's impeccable. What is that argument? That Hashem can't handle Chilul Hashem, cannot handle it. And the greatest Chilul Hashem is for Jew to be in Chutzar, to be in Golis, not to be in Eretz Yisrael. That's clearly the Ramban, unquestionably. So what does the Navi say over in the Cheskel, back in the page 240? V'echma al-shem kodshi ha-shechelu beis Yisrael ba'goyim ha-shem ba'u shama. Hashem has rachmanis on his, shall we say, on his name, on his good reputation that's been besmirched by the Jewish people. V'chein amro lo beis Yisrael. What does Hashem say? Lo l'manchem ani yosef beis Yisrael. I'm not doing it because of you. Ki l'shem kodshi. You are mechal Hashem. Therefore I have no choice to do what? Bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah, the Navi goes on to describe this a great mess. So now I'm back in our Pasha, back in Tazria again, and the Ramban. So the Ramban has the notion that these Negoyim are Dafka and Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because of the nature of the Hashgacha, the relation that Hashem has with Jews living in Eretz Yisrael is one that we have to be exceptionally cautious and careful how we behave here, more so than anywhere else in the rest of the globus. Why? Because here there's a direct Hashgacha of Hashem Yisrael. By the way, I'm just trying to show you that Ramban is not completely without a basis. I heard my Rebbe, Arav Soloveitchik Zatzal, said that the Ramban is based on a pasuk in Chumash. Wow, that's a pretty, shall we say, how shall I call it? Adventurous statement. But of course the Rav could say it. So the Rav had a raya that the Ramban Shita is a pasuk in Chumash. Where's that? Look at the Bereishis, page 34. In our pagination, page 34. This is talking about the when Hashem comes to Avraham Avinu and tells him that I want to consummate a bris with you, of course this is of course the bris milah, and he changes his name from Avram to Abraham. So now let's read Pasuk Zayin Yuches. Read this Tukim and you'll see how Rav Soloveitchik reads Tukim. V'akimosi es brisi b'ni u'menach. Hashem says, I will what? Establish my covenant between you and me. U'vein zaracha achavecha l'doroso l'bris olam b'yos l'chol elokim. I'll be a God for you. I'm going to be a God for you. I'll be, shall we say, your God. And then a second later, when Asati l'chol zahar harecha, eis eretz v'gurecha, eis kol eretz kenan, achuz ha'asotam, I'm going to give you eretz Israel as a permanent inheritance. V'yisi lohem l'elokim. So Pasuk Zayin says, I'm going to be your God. And Pasuk says, Ches says, where am I going to be your God? Where is that going to be? In eretz Israel. So the Rav said, this is the mock of the Ramban. The Ramban does not say this. Rav Soloveitchik said it, here the juxtaposition of the two psukim seemed to indicate that this, if you will, this sense of Hashem being our God takes place where? Dafka Eretz Yisrael. So this again is the Ramban, l'shitaso. But now I want to read to you a Rambam. The Rambam, by the way, does not agree with the Ramban's position that this notion of Kiyum HaMitzvos only in Eretz Yisrael and the Chutzos, we only do it as what? As a practice. Absolutely unconscionable. Not only does he attack the Ramban, but come out every Mefarish. I don't know anyone who agrees with the Ramban, with the exception of, I believe, Abid Al-Aydin the Kuzari. I believe he agrees with the Ramban. But I can't get into that right now. That needs separate treatment. But I want to read a Ramban that the Ramban is at the end of Tumas Saras. The Ramban describes this whole concept of the Goyim. So the Ramban, these are the Goyim. Eino mi min hogo shel olam. It's not natural. Ela osu pela hoya bi Yisrael. This was a what? metaphysical, miraculous, supernatural kind of event, says the Rambam. The Rambam agrees. The only distinction is that the Ramban says this happened only where? In Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam does not agree with that. According to the Rambam, it could be universal. It could be ubiquitous. And the Rambam says, but it was also clearly not natural. It was supernatural. And he goes on. Why? Kedei lazir melashon hara. This is all directed against lashon hara. Shama sabra melashon hara. Someone who speaks lashon hara, what happens first? Says the Rambam, his house is impacted. Okay? If he does tshuva, everything will go back to normal. If he continues on his merry way, says the Rambam, then the clothing, if you will, in his house that he sleeps on is going to be affected. If he does tshuva, everything will be fine. If he continues on his merry way, his own begotten that he's wearing are going to be affected. If he does tshuva, everything is fine. If he continues on his merry way, says the Rambam, he's going to become a metzora. Will be a, Rahman Lutzan, a leper. Be a moved over, put some levado, actually yisasek b'sichas ha-reshoyim shu ha-leitzon as lashon hara. Now the Rambam sees here a sequence of events that directly affects a person. The only distinction is the Ramban. And the Rambam, going to the Ramban, this can only happen where? In Eretz Yisrael. Going to the Rambam, it can happen anywhere. Hashem is sending us, shall we say, messages. We are being given divine messages in terms of our behavior and how we should behave. So this is a remarkable notion, a remarkable idea. Whether we hold like the Rambam or hold like the Ramban, one thing is clear. The Hashgacha of Hashem Yisbarach towards the Jew is absolutely, I would say, something which is unparalleled. There's nothing comparable to it. So I want to read a pasuk in the Navi, where the Navi writes, this also is a Haftarah, we're familiar with it, I'm not going to go into the details right now. The Navi says, "V'nasati l'cha malchin b'na'ovni ma'ele." I will give you mahalchim, those who walk between those who stand. The Vilna Gaon writes, there's a distinction between a person and a malach. What's the distinction between a person and a malach? A malach is omen. A malach is someone who stands. A malach has a specific mission to carry out, a specific mandate, and he has no bechira chavshus, he has absolutely no free will whatsoever, but he has a very precisely defined mission. That's what a malach does. That we know from those who are into angelology. I don't know if any of you are into that. But even the limited knowledge that we have of Malachim that we read about when we say Kriyat Shema Lamita, or when we encounter Malachim here and there in Shas, as you do, or even in Chumash, they have specific missions to carry out and they cannot move, they can't divert the course. Mashenkin, the person, is a Mahalach. Someone is who, essentially, we go up, we go down, we become excited, we become depressed. Correct? We are, in effect, influenced by our environment. We have free choice. We can move in a positive trajectory. We can go the other direction. We essentially are involved in constant zigzags. So the Vilna Gaon says, "Trata pasuk in the Navi, but asati l'cha malchim ben hovni ma'ele." We are malchim. We are people who are constantly on the go. Correct. We're constantly traveling. We're traveling sometimes, as I said, in a positive way. Sometimes in a negative way. So unquestionably, what Hashem Yisbarach does, He gives the person the ability to rise, to elevate himself, to move ahead, to move forward, to really accomplish, to conquer, shall we say, vistas that we thought were fortunately, or shall we say, unconquerable, but they are conquerable. Everything is conquerable. Chazal say, Habonat Tayar Misayin Lo. The reason why I say all this is because today happens to be the yard side of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan you're familiar with? A sefer of an unbelievable compendium of Psak Halacha on Dalek Chalke Shochara, written by a Rav, who was a Rav in the Navardik. The Chashuch is the father of the Teretz Mima. Teretz Mima you're probably familiar with. The Chashuch is his father. He was an unbelievable Shochara. It's a fantastic Shochara, fantastic. It's different than Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah just brings Halachas Pesukos. And what the Chashuch does, he goes through every din, goes through the sources, the Mekeres, the Gemaras, the Rishonim. That's why it's, I don't know how many volumes. How many volumes is it? 15 volumes, 16 volumes. There's even Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid that deals with Zroyim and Yoni Eretz Yisrael and Kodshim, unbelievable. So he has Aruch HaShulchan, the Pasuk in Mishlei in Perek Tezvav, where Shlomo HaMelech says, Aruch Chaim L'malo L'maskil L'mansor Mishol Mata. So the Gaon writes, the Vilna Gaon says, and Aruch HaShulchan has a similar kind of parish, Ha'adam Nikra Holech, a person is called what? A Holech. We are called people who are walking. We have to go from one madrega to another madrega. If a person doesn't go up, automatically, he's going to go down. We don't remain stationary. A human being does not remain fixed. Only a malach can remain fixed. But a human being does not remain fixed. We go up and down. And that's what the pasuk says. A person's trajectory should always be in an upward kind of kibun, upward kind of direction. And the Hashulchan, when he quotes this pasuk, the Hashulchan says, very beginning, the Hashulchan, the Arachayim, he said the following: that if a person is pursuing spiritual pursuits and mitzvahs and limud haTorah and chesed, and the person is trying to transform his character and personality, he's moving in an upward trajectory. And if Chas Hashem, a person is pursuing material matters and just, shall we say, sensual matters, sensuality and the like, then he's obviously going in a different direction. The reason why I say all this, because it seems to me that both the Ramban and Rambam that I quoted earlier, that's exactly what they're talking about. The Rambam that I just read to you in Tumas Saras, he's speaking about someone who speaks Lashon Hara. Rambam says, first, he's not affected directly, but what's affected is home. And then if he continues to speak Lashon Hara, the Rambam says, then what's affected? The pillows and the sheets in his house. If he continues to speak Lashon Hara, we're getting closer and closer. Then the Begodim are affected. If he continues to speak Lashon Hara, Rachman will son will become a Mitzorah, and we know what the din of a Mitzorah is, Bichut Samachan Oshavah. He has to go out, he's sequestered and completely quarantined, Bichut Samachan. And all this is for one reason, then the Rambam goes on, I didn't read this part to you. The Rambam describes Miriam and Aviyah. Miriam and Aviyah, as you know, what happened? So I said the end of Alosla. But the Dabbe Miriam Baron Bemoshe, Alodos Aisha Kusi, Ashalok, and Isha Kusi Shlokov, by Yomra, Rak Moshe Diber, Ashalok, I'm on a Diber. And a moment later, what happens to Miriam? She's afflicted with Tzaras. So the Rambam says, Kal v'chomer, and Miriam, she loved her brother. Miriam saved her brother. And yet she's taking the task because of the Lashon Hara she spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. Kal v'chomer l'bnei Adam harishoyim atipshim. She medab marvim medab begdolof in iflos. And the Rambam says, certainly Kal v'chomer to those people who are, he calls them in very strong language, the Rambam Kedarka Bakodesh. But my point is simply here, that the Rambam and the Ramban both are speaking about either a person goes in an upward trajectory or Chas v'Shalom, a person goes in the other direction. We have to be constantly moving forward. Constantly moving forward means growing in terms of our learning, growing in terms of our tefillah, growing in terms of how we do mitzvahs. We're more medaktik, we're more careful about performance of mitzvahs, growing in our bidon l'chavero, how we interact with our fellow man, in the chesed that we do for our fellow man, in the sensitivity that we have for other human beings, constant growth. And I'm always amazed by these two statements of both the Rambam and the Ramban. And I just want to show you that this idea also comes up elsewhere. There's a famous Brisa in Kedushin on Daf Chof, where the Gemara has a similar kind of drasha, which I think is similar in terms of what I call the upward movement, or Chas v'Shalom, the downward movement. The Gemara there talks about someone who is, in effect, violating laws of Shemitah. Next coming year, in Eretz Yisrael, is the Shemitah year. Which, on the one hand, is very exciting. Also, quite challenging. That's the understatement of the year. Challenging economically, and challenging halachically. Many, many different challenges that Shemitah actually confronts us with. Also, a very complicated set of halachos. But part of the beauty of Eretz Yisrael is the Shemitah year. Namely, that Hashem promised us in Chumash, what are we going to eat at the seventh year? We're not allowed to sow or to gather crops. What does Hashem say? Hashem is going to provide the sixth year with a year of fecundity. It's going to be so prosperous, it will yield enough for how many years? 3 years. So the Rambam also speaks about this, but there's a Gemara Kedushin. I want to read Lashon Gemara Kedushin. Rashi quotes in the Chumash. In the context of Parshas Bechukosai, we'll see that in a moment, but the Gemara said that on Daf Chof Kedushin, Rabbi Yossi of Chanin Omer, Bo Rei, Kama Koshe Afko Shol Shriyas. The person is not careful with Shriyas. Adam Nosim and Nosim the Perish Shriyas. Are you allowed to do traffic with Perish Shriyas? Are you allowed to, shall we say, do business with them? No. La'achla b'lalas Torah. You can only eat Perish Shriyas, but you can't do business with them. Let's say I do business with Perish Shriyas. Gemara says, you know what's going to happen? First, the self-mocker is the top one. You're going to be forced to sell all your movable property. mishtabel it. Lo higish, meaning the person doesn't do tshuva, and continues to trap in the perishvias, the sold machir sadosa, because you're constrained to sell your what, your real estate. Lo basli ado, you also again don't do tshuva, machir is basic, you have to sell your house. Lo basli ado, achman litzlan, machir is bito, you can sell your daughter into slavery. Lo basli ado, lo beribis, you're going to have to lend money, borrow money, interest. Lo basli ado, machir atzmo, you yourself are going to become a slave. So we have here, as you can see, a sequence. And what's very fascinating, that Rashi on the spot says, Lo Hirgish says, Rashi, Lo Samlei Lepuranu Sabolo, Laksabol Me'aver Shabiyodo. Person doesn't realize that he's going where? Down the tubes, as you would say. He's traveling in the wrong direction. He's going in a downward trajectory. He's moving down, down, down. And the Gemara is telling us that there's a sequence over here. There's also a Rashi in the Hukosai. Rashi in the Hukosai also has a similar kind of, shall we say, sequence. Also very fascinating. The Torah in the Hukosai, as you know, tells us, maybe we'll see some of the Psukim. Look at the Hukosai for a second. The end of Vayikra. The Torah tells us to begin page 317. In the book outside. If you follow the Chukim, so the Torah tells you prosperity is going to follow. There'll be Geshem, you'll have tremendous yield, your agronomy will be in order, you'll pursue your enemies. That's on page 317. On 318, the Torah says, and Hashem will walk with you. So give you Yadal, Kubez, you Yimel. However, you don't. Im lo tishmuli, let's say you don't follow what I ask you to follow. If you find my chukim to be repulsive, so Hashem is going to really throw the book at us. And Rashi over here comments on the following pasuk, where the Torah says, "On pasuk tezvav lahafrechem es brisi, you're going to annul my covenant." So look at Rashi. You see Rashi on the second left-hand column, top line. La'afrachem is Risi, says Rashi, Kofir Ba'ika, Hare Shema Averos. There are seven Averos that are listed here. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Rashi explains that. Number one, says Rashi, Averos of Rishona Gores Hashnia. The first cause is the second. The Chenad Hashnia is still the seventh. Ve'elohein, lo lama. Person doesn't learn Torah. Lo asa. Of course, you're not going to do mitzvahs. You don't learn how to do mitzvahs. Mois Macher Ma'osid. Then you despise others who do mitzvahs. You don't do mitzvahs, you don't want anyone else to do mitzvahs either. So the Yisachachamim, that leads to what? Someone who hates Tamid Yisachachamim. Monei Yisachachamim, that you prevent others from, shall we say, loving Torah, doing mitzvahs, loving Chachamim. And then finally, Kovim B'mitzvahs, Kovim B'hikar. Unbelievable. Because a person didn't learn Torah, what didn't learn mitzvahs, that can lead to Kfirah B'hikar. What's Kfirah B'hikar mean? You deny Hashem. You essentially deny Hashem is Barak. And the answer is, Chazal understood very well the psyche of a human being. We all know that even when we make mistakes, we try to justify mistakes. We refuse to acknowledge that we made a mistake. We're not ready to be modeh. We're not ready to admit that we may have erred. We made some error. Chazal said, "Kol nigoyim adam roya to Mishnah." The person sees every nega, which means nega absolutely. He doesn't see his own nigoyim. Trust me, I can tell you that. I only see the goyim in other people. I'm a perfect specimen. How could I possibly do anything wrong? And people tend to dig their heels in. That's human nature. No one wants to be proven wrong. No one wants to be given musa, to be chastised. I saw in the Maseiach Yesharim, there's a maimon called Derech Etz Chaim. I don't know how far you've gotten in that sefer. That's a wondrous sefer. The Gaon Vilna said every single word in that sefer is Kodesh Kodesh. There's not an extra word in the sefer. It's remarkable, by the way. It's a remarkable sefer for another reason. The Ramchal, the author of the sefer, wrote two different versions of the Maseiach Yesharim. One is a more musadika version, and the other is written like a kind of play with different, shall we say, people playing different personality traits. Mind-boggling. Very similar. You ever have a chance to compare the two? I'm very into this kind of analysis. Almost written as a play that you perform, with different personality traits being portrayed by different individuals. That's how he writes the second Sefer, which is very similar in language to the first Sefer. He wrote two different, by the way, he passed away, Ramchal. He was in his late 30s. It's a young man. He was a very, very productive fella in terms of what he wrote. His writings are just absolutely mind-boggling, but the Gaon said about Maseiach Yesharim, there's not an extra word for Maseiach Yesharim. That's what the Gaon writes. The Vilna Gaon said about it. Anyway, so he writes in his Maim Maderach Etzchayim, he says that everyone should spend 1 hour a day doing a Cheshbon HaNefesh. Cheshbon HaNefesh means doing introspection. Everyone has to do introspection. We all do it, I imagine. Kriyash Malamita, for those who are still not completely known from Orpheus. So they obviously are going to do some sort of introspection. Is that not so? That's what's mentioned by all the Dolei Apostolim. Every day, before you go to sleep. What did I do today? What did I accomplish today? Which areas did I err? Was I led astray? Did I act incorrectly? What can I improve? How can I become a better person? The Gemara Babasa, the Bayin Ches, the Gemara has a famous drasha in the Pasuk, Al-Kin Yomru Hamoshlim Bo Cheshbon, Hamoshlim Elo Hamoshlim B'Yitzra, those who can control the Yitzra Hara, Bo Cheshbon, Bo B'Nachshom Cheshbon Shalom. And he explains that those who are able to somehow control themselves and discipline themselves, they know how to do the right things, and they can teach others how to do it as well. He says that's what a person has to do. Rov Shnos Yomav Omid Lachshom Cheshbon Sasaka. People, most of the time, they're busy, obviously worried about material possessions, worried about making a living, eating out of sustenance, a panasa, which of course is the proper thing to do. Why can't I even think about machshavas of the spiritual nature? Mahu, who am I? Lama basi lola. Why did I come into this world? What does Hashem want from me? What's going to be my ultimate end? So he said that that's what the president should in effect be involved in, namely at least spend some time in the day that one should devote to cheshbon hanefesh, to making introspection. So just summing up all that which we said, which was a fair amount, we started with the Ramban and the Rambam. The Ramban and the Rambam speak about the unbelievable hashgacha that exists in Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban especially. But the Rambam also indicates that the goy of this entire discussion all relates to what is not natural. It's not something which is, shall we say, b'derech hateva. It's a sign that Hashem Yisbarach gives to Klal Yisrael that we have to be on guard. And the moment that we're not on guard, and the moment that obviously Hashem recognizes we're human beings, we make mistakes. Frailty, thy name is human, said the Bard. And therefore we are obviously all prone to error and prone to be led astray. And we have ups and downs, and that's a human thing. But if we can somehow not fall into the Rahman Litzan, into a situation where we just, once we are headed down the trajectory, we continue going down the tubes, as I said earlier, that's what we have to do. We have to get a hold of ourselves. As Rashi writes in Kedushin, and as the Rambam writes over here, and the Ramban as well, at every step of the way, everything we do, we have to once again carefully reevaluate where we are, where we're holding. Are we moving upward? Are we in an upward trajectory? My father's yard site was on Shabbos. My father was Nifter on Chaf Adar. I actually hold both Adars, both the first and the second. You know, the briskets. This is my focus on the Chavir Ramah, but I hold both. Lucky it happened on Shabbos, because as you fast on my yard site, I only had to fast one time, thank God. And now the second time, I'm not fasting. We have enough fast, we don't need any more. One of the things about my father, Zechanu Livracha, and my mother, Alei Hashalom, passed away Erev Pesach. One of the things about them, every single day, they had notebooks where they wrote down the Cheshbon HaNefesh. Crazy. Partially crazy. They never went to yeshiva a day in their lives. They want Zechanu like you to learn in Torah Shraga, Baruch Hashem, all the other yeshivas that you came from, and they're going to go from Yitzhak Hashem. Weren't Zechanu to any of that. And they somehow felt the need on a daily basis to take inventory of what they did, which I always found to be amazing. I was absolutely appalled by it. So you see that the Torah is telling us that we are zochet to a very specific hashkacha, not just those in Eretz Yisrael, which is the Shitas Rabban, for sure, But even going to the Rambam, most we show it. A Jew is zochet hashkacha wherever you are, but universally. It's ubiquitous, no matter what your situation is. And if we carry out the Dvar Hashem, and we are punctilious and careful and very sensitive, not chas v'shalom to really, God forbid, in any way, be nichshal, and we're constantly moving an upward trajectory, the greater the commitment, the greater the hashkacha. This is the Shitas Ramban. I was discussing it with Rav Andi Yud Shlita before. There's no question about it. This is the Shitas Ramban throughout his Perashat HaTorah. He says it so many times as to be almost, I would say, the Yisod. The more a person is connected to Hashem, the greater the hashkacha Hashem has on you. The more Hashem will protect you. Ramban writes in the Hukosai, he has this, again, fantastic shita that no one understands, of course. Ramban says, when calling yourself a shleimim, when we are completely shalom with Hashem, there will be no need for doctors. The Ramban goes absolutely wacky over this position. Wacky. It's mind-boggling, the Ramban. The Ramban himself is a doctor, by the way. Well, the Ramban was a doctor. The Ramban was a doctor. Many of you showed him with doctors. I think that was the only profession that was around at the time. Medical school. Whatever the case is, so the Ramban takes issue with this Ramban. Then what are you talking about? The Ramban compares, let's say, one who's sick to someone who, let's say, is starving. So what does a starving person do? How do you resolve, shall we say, your issue? You eat. Says the Ramban, if you're not well, what do? You go to a doctor. So the Ramban has the famous analogy. But the Ramban writes over there that in an ideal, idyllic world, we call yourself a shleimim, and where is that said going to the Ramban? That's only can be where? In Eretz Yisrael. There's no need for doctors. But what do? You go to a Navi. What does a Navi do? The Navi tells you what your problem is. Why were you, shall we say, visited by Hashem with a particular machla? Because every machla has a spiritual counterpart. Mind boggling. This Ramban can say that, that's how he writes, that is Perish Allah Torah. Okay, we're not zochet to that kind of hashkacha today. We're very far from that, extremely far from that. But all of us have the ability, unquestionably, to fulfill mitzvahs and to do so punctiliously and carefully and cautiously and do so until we literally become, Baruch Hashem, people who are in a shmung. That's the term they use here. I don't know what it means. It means we go basically and it becomes almost like inertia. Inertia that we carry out the mitzvahs and we do so, we learn every day, and we do mitzvahs every day, and we do chesed every day, we interact with people in a wholesome way, and little by little, we actually fulfill the Aruch HaShulchan Aruch HaShulchan, that pasuk, Aruch HaYim, Lemala, Lemaskil, Lemansor, Mishol Matan. We're moving in an upward trajectory. That's the function of being in a yeshiva, and that's what we have to try to hold on to. Even when we, shall we say, go into Ben Azmanim, it's been a long zman. As far as I know, I think it was a Shana Muberet, a leap year, even longer. So we had more of an opportunity to become, shall we say, totally and completely in Kedusha, in Kedusha, in Shmiras HaMitzvos, in Limud HaTorah. So now when we go into the Ben Azmanim mode, we have to be extremely careful not to lose that Madrega, not to lose these Madregos. Ben Azmanim is a time actually when a person can actually breathe a little bit and even do other things, Baruch Hashem. I would never socially, they always told me, Ben Azman is the time to learn all Tanakh. If you don't do it during this month, so now you can learn Tanakh. I said, if you're accustomed to learning during this month 15, 16 hours a day, so now you only learn 12 hours a day. I remember, I asked many years ago, Rabbi 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 Shlita, Rabbi Rabbi, he went to Harvard. I asked him, how many hours did he learn in Harvard? Did he have time to learn at all? Rabbi said, I was only able to learn approximately 12, 13 hours a day. I said, when did you do your academic work? Bein gavra le gavra. Bein gemar le gemar. You didn't understand what the issue was. But whatever the case is. Rav Reim HaKoyen, Zashiv HaVatniel, the Talmud Vavar Mechzin told me, Arad David, Shaiti Batank, he was a tank commander. Gomavi, Gomasechet Ervin. He learned all the Ervin in a tank. I asked him, where were you? In the turret? Of the tank army. He's a big Ilui. He learned all Masechet Erevin in the tank. He's a tank commander. Told the Rosh Hashiva. It's amazing what we're capable of doing when we put our minds to it. And really, of course, our tefillah is to Hashem Yitzbarach. We should constantly be able to be zochet to his hashgacha. We should constantly be on an upward trajectory. And as I said, the more commitment that we have, and the greater our Shemir Samitzis, and the greater the Mulat Torah, the greater will be the hashgacha of Hashem Yitzbarach upon us. And there's no question that's the Yesod Gadol, not just of the Ramban. I think all the Rishonim know that. The Gemara says, I'll just end with this Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitakik im tzadikim kod asara. Hashem is very mitakik with tzadikim in both directions. If chas v'shom we are nichshol, they'll throw the book at us, just like he does with Eretz Yisrael. But if we are mitakik to go ahead and continue on the rise, on an upward trajectory, then the hashgacha is literally, the bracha of Hashem is baruch, is an endless bracha. By the close of Hashem bracha, Ad Olam Yedai. Halavai we should be zocher, all of us, collectively, individually, for that bracha Ad Olam Yedai, continue moving, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, and Siyata Nishmaya, in the upper Judah.
I got it.
Thank you.